Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Hey. You'll notice a triangle and a numbered triangle to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. We are in the middle of a series of attempts to discover or determine who the author of our Mishnah is that spoke about the placing of an article or the removal of an article from the hand of a person. The hand of a person does not measure 4x4 tefachim, and therefore this arouses our interest. How is it, or who is of the opinion, that Akira and Hanocha can take place with a surface area, namely the removal or the placing on of the article on a surface area that measures less than 4x4 tefachim? 4x4 tefachim in general is viewed as a mokom choshuv, as a significant place when the issue of space is under discussion. Yet in our Mishnah, we see that an article can be removed from someone's hand, and it's considered an Akira and a Hanocha. Elo Omar Rabbi Zera, Ha'amani, our Mishnah is, Achirim he is, according to the opinion of the Achirim, that will not require Dalin al Dal, 4x4 Tvachim. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source, Achirim Omrim, Omad bimkomo v'kibel chayov. If someone is throwing an article at a distance of 4 amos in Rishus Harabim, so he aims the article, he aims the item at somebody, and it reaches them where the receiver was originally standing. In other words, the throw and the intention behind it was fulfilled. So we say that if the action conforms to the original intention, then a malacha is done. So you have an akira and a hanocha. Here, it landed, the receiver received it where he originally was standing, so the thrower is guilty. Okar mimakomo v'kibel, potter. If the receiver received the thrown item, but as a result of running or leaving the place he originally was standing in, so the thrower is going to be exempt because the thrower intended it to go somewhere else, to go further, if you will, and this person ran and stopped it from going the intended original distance. Therefore, the thrower is exempt because his original intention was not fulfilled. Now, we want to focus on the first case here. Omad bimkomo v'kibel chayov. If the original person stood in his place and received it, so the thrower is chayov. Ha bo'inon hanocha agabi mokom dalet v'leka. Wouldn't you think that you would that the resting, stopping and the resting of the place, of the item, should measure 4x4 tefachim, and it doesn't, because it was caught by the person, and we say caught by him, you would assume it means he caught it in his hand. And still you see that there is guilt on the part of the thrower. That means there was an akira and a hanocha. The hanocha was on in the person, in the receiver's hand. And la shema mino, we can conclude, lo bo'inon mokom arbo, you don't require a place of 4x4 tefachim in order to create the chiyuv, the guilt, and the authorship of this is the Achirim, as you can see in the source. The Gemara rejects this. V'dilma anocha hu delo bo'inon. Granted, in the source you see that the coming to rest of the item can take place on in the receiver's hand, less, which is less than 4x4 tvachim. So hanocha, a 4x4 dimension is not required. Ho akira bo'inon. But the original removal of the item before it was thrown does require it being removed from a place 4x4, which is not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah spoke about the one of the people reaching into the hand of the other person and taking the article, whether it be the Oni reaching into the hand of the Balabayas or the Balabayas reaching into the hand of the art of the Oni and taking the item. According to our Mishnah, even Akira didn't require 4x4. And furthermore, v'hanocha nami, and regarding hanocha as well, who says that the case involving the Achirim reflects hanocha not requiring 4x4 tvachim? Dilma de poshit kanfei v'kibla de ikonami hanocha. Maybe the receiver in that case, he was standing in this place and he opened up, he unfolded or he spread out his garment and caught it in the spread out garment. And the spread out garment, whether it be his coat or some other garment that has a width to it, so maybe they simply spread out or their apron or something like that and caught it that way, and that does have a 4x4 dimension. So from the case involving the Achirim, we do not find what we're looking for. We're looking for a shita that does not require 4x4 tvachim. Omar Rebbe Abba. Here, the Gemara takes a change in direction. And we have a note, and also our symbols indicate that. You notice the triangle appears with a colored-in tip. So it already looks a little different. And the note, near the starred note in the margin, we've written He'ora, which is a note. Achshav ma'amidim es ha-mishneh de-bo'inon mokom dalet. Now, we are approaching the Mishnah, as it too does require 4x4 tvachim. Up till now, we were making an assumption that the Mishnah, being that it was seemed to be dealing with a hand, doesn't require 4x4 tvachim for Akira and Hanocha. And here, we're going to be changing that approach. So Rabbi Abba says, Masni sinami kagon sha'okar mitraskel v'hiniach algabi traskel de'ika nami Hanocha. We have the Akira is done from a traskel. A traskel is a basket. And the Hanocha is placed in a basket. The Hanocha takes place in a basket. The Gemara asks, V'ho yodo katani. The Mishnah doesn't mention basket. The Mishnah mentions hand, an item removed from someone's hand or the item placed in someone's hand. So the Gemara says, that's no problem. Tini traskel shebi yodo. In the text of the Mishnah, we would be adding a word, or an understanding is made of the word of the Mishnah. Namely, we're talking about a basket in their respective hands, the Oni's hand and the Balabayas' hand. The Gemara says, Ha tenach traskil b'rshus hayochid. This explanation will be fine if you're talking about the traskel in the Rishus HaYochid, in the hands of the Balabayas. Ela traskel sheb Rishus HaRabim Rishus HaYochid Hu. But the basket in the hands of the Oni, who's in the Rishus HaRabim, but being that the basket has a dimension of 4x4 tvachim, that would make it into a Rishus HaYochid. So how would the Balabayas, let us say, who was standing in the Rishus HaYochid and placed something in the basket, which is considered also a Rishus HaYochid, even if it's in the Rishus HaRabim, why would the Balabayas be guilty? He simply took something from a Rishus HaYochid and placed it in a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore there you don't see the transferal from one Rishus to a different Rishus, from one domain to a different domain. Why would that be Chayev? And yet, the Mishnah says it is Chayev. So, the Gemara asks, and you'll notice we have a long question marking, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. And we're working now with the assumption that the Mishnah is saying that it is chayiv. That's not the assumption, but actually that's what it says. It says that the balabayas who places in the hand of the oni, he is chayiv. So the only way to arrive at that conclusion and assume that we're talking about a basket, so you'd have to say that the basket is not a rishus hayochid. Well then, you know what? Lema delo k'Rabbi Yossi Rav Yehuda. Then we're going to have to say that our Mishnah does not conform to Rabbi Yossi Rav Yehuda. And that's an uncomfortable position for us to be in, to suggest that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi Rav Yehuda's Shita. Desanya, Rabbi Yossi Rav Yehuda Omer, Noatz Kona Rishus Harabim. A person wedged a pole, a cane, in the Rishus HaRabim, in the public thoroughfare, Uberosha Traskel, and on the top of this pole there was a basket. The basket was supported by this pole. The pole was narrow, and on the top it had a basket, and the basket measured 4x4. Tvachim, Zorak Vinoch Al Gabov, Chayav. If a person threw from a distance of, let us say, 4 amos away, and it landed on this basket, 4 amos away in a Rishus HaRabim. He threw from a Rishus HaRabim. Let's retract the 4 amos point, but simply he threw from a Rishus HaRabim. And it landed on this basket. He's chayav. He is guilty, because the basket is considered a Rishus HaRabim. Now, we have to correct ourselves. The basket is considered a Rishus HaYochid. Therefore, throwing from the Rishus HaRabim to the basket, he has gone from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYochid. So, our Mishnah would seem to be unlike Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, the E Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. If our Mishnah were like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, then case 2 Aleph in the Mishnah, Poshat Balabayas Es Yodo Lachutz V'Nosan L'Soch Yodo Shel Oni. We saw that if the Balabayas was in a Rishus HaYochid, had an article in his hand and put it by the Oni who was in the public thoroughfare, and we're explaining the Mishnah as referring to a basket in the hands of the Oni, and according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, what took place here is from balabayas to basket, you're really going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid. Amai Chayav. Mir Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid, Komapik. All that happened in case 2 Aleph is that the article went from Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. So the Mishnah, on the other hand, teaches there's guilt. So it would seem that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi Buda. The guilt coming as a result of the Oni with his basket being considered Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara responds, Afilu Temo Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah can be in agreement with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Hasam Lamalo Me'asara. The case in which Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda spoke, where an item was thrown from Rishus HaRabim into this basket, is because the basket was above 10 Tfachim. It was more than 10 Tfachim over the Rishus HaRabim. So the basket having a dimension of 4x4 on its the bottom of the basket, plus the height being more than 10 tefachim off the ground, gave the basket a Rishus HaYochid identity. Height 10, area 10 tefachim, and width 4x4 tefachim. That's as far as Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's case. Hacha, in the Mishnah's case, Lamata Me'asara, the basket was less than 10 Tfachim. So the basket, though, has 4x4 Tfachim. So you have Akira and Hanocha from a Mokum of Arba Al Arba. And as far as the case of the Balabayas giving over to the Oni, so the Balabayas took the item from a basket and put it into the basket in the hands of the Oni, but the basket was less than 10 Tfachim off the Rishus HaRabim. maintaining its dimension or identity as a Rishus HaRabim. Kashya lei l'Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo has a difficulty with this approach, and he says, Mikotoni traskul shebiyado. Does the text of the Mishnah reveal this? Does it say basket in his hand? Yodo kotoni. All the Mishnah says is an item placed in his hand. Elo omar Rabbi Avo. So Rabbi Avo, a fifth approach at trying to define or identify authorship of the Mishnah, or describe the circumstances of the Mishnah, while dealing with the issue of 4x4 tefachim. So Rabbi Avo says, we're back to the hand pshat, the hand explanation. However, let's take the Oni for example. He lowered his hand to be within 3 tefachim of the ground. The kibla again, sheshil shel is to lower, sheshil shel yodo lamato mishlosha v'kibla, and received the article from the balabayas while the oni's hand was within 3 tefachim of the ground. And when you have something within 3 tefachim, it's considered as if it's attached to the ground, and therefore the hand is not viewed as an isolated hand lacking the 4x4 tefachim, but it rather is associated with the ground and its, of course, dimensions, its unlimited dimensions. The ha oimed kotoni, the Gemara asks, the case doesn't involve someone bent over, in effect, sitting on the ground, but rather standing. And if a person is standing, so his hand is going to be more than 3 tefachim from the ground. The Gemara says, b'shoche, he is bent over. He is standing. He's not seated, but he's bent over, enabling his hand to be within 3 tefachim of the ground. And the Balabayas places the article into the hand of a bent over Oni, who's standing in Rishus HaRabim. The Iboy is Emo. Another approach. Beguma. The person is not bent over. The Oni is erect. However, he's standing in a depression, in a hole, so that his hand is within 3 tefachim of the surface of the public highway, the public thoroughfare. V'boy Sema, another approach to explain the Mishnah with the Oni standing, is that we're dealing with a nanos, a midget, and as such, the hand is within 3 tefachim of the ground because of this person's limited height. Omar Rava. Rava, upon hearing Rabbi Avo's explanation or explanations, reacts, Ichbal Tano La'ashmin and Kol Hani. Does the Tano go out of his way to teach us these rather unusual cases? Elo Omar Rava. Rava is the final approach to explaining the Mishnah. Yodoi shel Odom Chashuvalo Kedalid Al Dalid. It's true, but the Gemara is saying that a person's hand is considered or has the significance of 4x4 Tefachim. In other words, any other item with regard to Akiran Hanocha, any other area regarding Akiran Hanocha, we will be insistent on 4x4 Tefachim. The hand is an exception in the sense that it too has a figurative 4x4 Tefachim, but only as a result of its significance, of the hand's importance. V'chein ki yosa rovin omer Rabbi Yochanan, yodoi shel odom chashuv aloi kedalid al dalid. We have a little aleph over Rabbi Yochanan's name. This will be important in the upcoming discussion. So we have the Gemara reporting to us that Rabbi Yochanan also requires 4x4 tefachim, and a hand is considered that 4x4 tefachim. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, the double underline, and this is a the reason for this is that we have a series of statements made by Rabbi Ovin Amar Rabbi Ilo as we look ahead in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Ovin Amar Rabbi Ilo Amar Rabbi Yochanan. we have a base over this Rabbi Yochanan, and we'll take note of that as we go on in the Gemara, that we've noted two, we're going to be noting two halachas of Rabbi Yochanan. What does he say? Zorak chefetz v'noch besoch yodoy shel chavero chayav. If a person throws an item and it lands in the hands of his friend, so the thrower is chayav. My komash mulon, what's the significance of Rabbi Yochanan's statement? Is he telling us yodoy shel odom chashuva loy kedalet al dalet, that the reason the thrower is chayav is because he threw an article and it landed in the receiver's hand, which is considered 4x4 tfachim? V'ha omra Rabbi Yochanan chada zimna, but this point was said already. That's why we noted the Rabbi Yochanan before with an aleph. So what's the significance of Rabbi Yochanan teaching me this case of someone throwing an article and it lands in the hand of his receiver and the thrower thereby becomes guilty? The Gemara answers, Ma'u de teimo, hani mili, hecho de achshiva u liyodei. I might have thought that guilt takes place only where a person plans or considers. The Rashi says, "Hecho da achshuva zeh oisim malocha niskaven l'sito liyad chavero ki masnisen," that the hand gets significance only when it was part of the original plan of the person doing the malocha, doing the activity. Avol hecho de lo achshuva hu liyodei emalo, but where the where it wasn't planned that it should land specifically in the person's hand. Rashi says, Aval hecho de lo achshiva she'olcha v'nocha me'atzmo bi'ad chavero. It went on its own into the hand of the receiver. Dahai dezorik, the thrower, lo achshiva li'ad chavero la'anucha be'gavo. The thrower didn't intend for it to land specifically in the hand of the receiver. Talonis kavein lekach. So, I might have thought that where the hand was not the specific location, so it wouldn't have the dimension or the definition of 4x4 tefachim. So, komash molon, the Gemara continues and says, that's what this second Rabbi Yochanan is telling me, that even without that specific intent, since the item landed at his friend where he wanted it to go, there is guilt. And the hand, nevertheless, is still considered 4x4 tefachim. Omer b'yavin, omer b'yolo, omer b'yochanan. Omad b'mkomo v'kibel chayav. If a person threw an item and the receiver stood where he originally was when the thrower threw the item, so the thrower is chayav. Okar mimkomo v'kibel, poter. We saw this referred to above, this distinction, where the receiver received the item, but as a result of running to receive it, so the thrower is exempt. And the reason for that is that the thrower's original intent wasn't fulfilled. Had the person not run to catch it, so the item would have gone further, would have gone somewhere else. Tanyo nami hochi. The Gemara supports this with a Tanaic source. Achirim omrim. Omad bimkomo v'kibel chayov. Okar mimkomo v'kibel poter. This is the same brisa we saw at the opening of today's shiur. Boy Rabbi Yochanan, zorak chefetz v'nekar hu mimkomoi v'chozar v'kiblo mahu. If a person, the same person that threw the item, he threw it, giving it some type of upward trajectory, and hence he had enough time to then run and catch it as it came down. So the person that threw it is also the person that's catching it. What is the din? So the Gemara asks, "My komi bayale, what is the reason to think that there should be exemption? After all, what happened here is there was an akira, the original throwing, and there was a hanocha, and a receiving of the item. So a complete malacha was done. Why should you think that there's anything other than chiyuv, than guilt? Omar Rav Ado bar Ahavo. Shnei koiches ba'odom echad komibayalei. What is underlying this question is not the focus on the fact that an akira and hanocha was done, but the fact that we have two forces being generated by one person. Is that considered, and the Gemara will explain, is that considered one person who did a complete act, or is it considered as if there were two people involved? And as a result of that, it would be a case of Shnayim Shasu Melacha, which would not result in guilt. Two people doing one act is reason for exemption. So the Gemara explains the question. Shnei koiches bodem echad kodem echad domi v'chayov. The two forces generated by one person, in other words, the force of original throwing, and that's the akira, and the eventual receiving action, the hanocha, were done by one person. So is it considered one person, and therefore there would be guilt? Oidilma, or possibly, kishnei b'nei adam domi upotar. It's considered as if there were two people, and Rashi adds, very importantly, that the fact that this person ran and caught it, it in effect stopped the item from going where it otherwise would have ended up going. Rashi, let's take a look together at that Rashi. Kishnei b'nei adam damya upater, dahavalu shnayim shuasua. It would then take on the definition of a malacha done by two. Dekevon shlo iniach achefetz leilichad mokom hilucho v'lonuach. Since he didn't allow the article that was thrown to go and land and stop where it originally would have stopped, elo rotzach ravi ikvo, but rather he ran after it and stopped it. Havio le akira komaisa below hanocha. It would then be a case of the first akira that done without a hanocha, because as we learned before, where an item is thrown, we saw this in the case of the Achirim, where the item was thrown and someone ran and caught it, stopping it from going where it originally was supposed to go. So it is the reason for exemption. The malacha was not the result was not like it was originally designed to be. So the Gemara ends off with this as teku. This remains unresolved. Omar Rabbi Ovin, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Yichnis yodoi l'soy chotzer chavero v'kibel mei gishomim v'hotzi chayav. If a person standing in a Rishus HaRabim put his hand into someone's courtyard and they're accumulated in his hand rain water, and then he, after the water accumulated in his hand, he withdrew the hand to where he's standing in the Rishus HaRabim, so he's guilty. Maskif law Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera has difficulty with this halach, and he asks, Mali hitinoi chaveroi, mali hitinoi shomayim. Ihu lo ovid akira. We saw in our Mishnah that if the Oni standing in Rishus HaRabim, we're just citing one of a couple of examples, but if the Oni were standing in the Rishus HaRabim and he put his hand into a private domain, and a person standing in the private domain put stuff in the Oni's hand and the Oni withdrew it, we say that the Oni is innocent because he did not do the Akira. The person who put the item in the Oni's hand did the Akira. What, therefore, is the difference between the case of the Mishnah and instead of having some person filling up the hand, here, heaven filled up his hand with the rain. The rain poured into this person's hand. And just like in the case of Hitino Chaveroi, where his friend filled up his hand, so the person standing with Shutzer Rabim is exempt, is potter, so too in this case he should be potter. Why does Rabbi Ovin say that he is chayav for upon withdrawing his hand to the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara answers, Lo Tamar Kibel, don't explain or present Rabbi Yochanan's case as a passive act of receiving of the water. Elo Kolat. Rather, he gathered the water. The Rashi says at the end of the Rashi commentary, Elo Emal Kolat, Hashto Salka Daitoch, right now it sounds as to say, Kishohoyo HaKiluach Yoreid, as the flow was coming down, the flow of water was descending, Hiko Biodo Achas Vikiblu Bechaverta David LeAkira. The person maneuvered his hands in such a way that he slapped the water as it was coming down from heaven into his other hand. So that action of slapping the water into his other hand is considered the Akira. Question. V'ha bo'inon Akira me'al gabi mokom dalit v'leka. Do we not require, as we saw in the previous sukya, do we not require Akira from an area of 4x4 tvachim? And here, it's the rains, the Akira of the rainwater is taking place in midair. So how come there would be guilt? You're lacking Akira from a mokum of Dalid. Oma Rabbi Chiyo Breid Ravuna, Kegoim, Shekolat Me'al Gabi Hakoiso. You'll notice we have a diamond number one in the to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This is the first of a couple of approaches in dealing with this question of the rainwater and Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. The second approach will be found on Amud Beis, a few lines down from the top. So, Rav Chiyobar Brei de Rav Huna's pshat is that he gathered the water from on top of a wall. It was raining and water was flowing off the wall. So at that point he gathered the water. So you have an Akira me'al gabi mokom dalet. The Gemara asks, al gabi koisel nami v'holo noch. Granted, the wall has dimensions. However, the water was flowing, and you gathered the water from a situation where it had not been at rest, and therefore it's not considered an Akira. Akira is the removal of an item that was in a state of Hanocha, a previous state of Hanocha, or of rest, of immobility, and you took it from there. But here the rain was flowing off the wall. The Gemara answers, Kida Omar Rava, as Rava says elsewhere, Bekoisel Meshupa. We're dealing with a wall that has a slant to it, so that at that point where the water was removed, the water had, we'll assume it means here that the water had come to a halt because of this wall and its curvature. So Rava says his halacha elsewhere. Hachanami, so we'll apply Rava's halacha of Kaisel Meshupa, Rava's description of Kaisel Meshupa, of wall with curvature, here too. Hachanami, but Kaisel Meshupa. So at this point, we would have a pshat in Rabbi Ovin Om Rabbi Yochanan's halacha of the person standing with Rishus HaRabim gathering rainwater from a wall that has a shipua to it, a slant or curvature to it, and thereby explaining how you have the Akira me'al gabi mokom dalad of water that is behanocha, that has come to a halt. The Gemara now asks, v'heicho itmar derava, where did Rava say his halacha? In other words, we just quoted Rava as having said something in a different location, and we want to know now, where did Rava say his original point?
Answer, aha desnan. He said it on the following. So marking-wise, you see that we have a long answer marking. You see the tuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. All of this is designed to give us the background and the source at which Rava stated his point. We're now at Omid Beis at the top. You see a Tanaic source. Hoya kore b'sefer alo eskupa v'nisgalgil ha-sefer miyodo. A person was reading from a scroll, a holy scroll, like a Megillah of Sefer Torah, and as he was reading on an eskupa. Eskupa, we can say, is a stoop. It has the definition of a carmelis. It's not a Rishus HaYochid and not a Rishus HaRabim. And the scroll rolled. It says, go to Loessa, so you roll it back to where you are. Hayakure Barosh Hagag. Person was standing on a rooftop, which is a Rishus HaYochid, a private domain. Galgel ha-sefer miyodo, and it rolled. It started to roll out of his hand, so that the one end of the scroll is now is coming downwards, down to the street. Ashelo higia la'sor tfochim, before it gets to a height of 10 tfochim off the ground. In other words, before it gets to a point within 10 tfochim of the ground, goylolo etzlo. He can roll it back to where he is. Mishigia la sorat tfochim. Once the other end of the sefer, of the scroll, of the reaches within 10 tfochim of the ground, hoifchoi al haksav. All that is left for him to do is to flip over the scroll so that the script is facing downwards. The Rashi across from here says, Higia la sora, osu legololo, it's also for him to roll it back. The gozu rabbonon mishum shvus. The rabbonon imposed a rabbinic restriction. Hecha the oigdoi biado. Where our case, it's true, the man on the roof still has the other end in his hands. However, we're making a gzera otu in anticipation. Hecha denofak miyode kule, the lo lise, to a case where it entirely came out of his hands and it's now down on the street altogether. Deiko chiyuva doraisa, if a person would, after the scroll completely rolling out of his control down to the floor, down to the street level, would then go and take it back up to the roof, that would be a Malocha doraisa of going mirushus lirushus rishus harabim to rishus hayochid. So even in the case where one end is still in his hands, it hasn't gone completely into the public thoroughfare, we still ban his rolling it back then as well. We now ask about or analyze this source. Vehavinon bo, and we ask, amai hoifchoi al haksav. Why is it that if it gets within 10 tfochim of the ground, do you nevertheless impose this restriction of simply flipping it over to the written side facing downwards? The ha lo noch. It hasn't come to a state of rest yet, being that it's simply dangling down the side of a wall. Why should there be any problem in rolling it back? Granted, if it came to a halt, so we would make a gzera of that case in anticipation of the case where the whole thing rolled out of his hands and came to a halt. But here it didn't even come to a halt yet. We didn't mention beforehand, but let's mention it now, that the flipping over with the script facing downwards is simply an act of respect, a sign of respect to the holy scroll that's now in this dangling dishonorable position. So Rava comes in now and answers, why is it that even though it comes within 10 tefachim of the ground, why is it that you cannot roll it back? Is it not so that it's lo noch? The Omar Rava bekoisel meshupa. Rava says the case involved a wall with a curvature, with a slope to it, so that the other end of the sefer that rolled away from you does come to a halt. The Gemara asks, granted that Rava describes the case with the sefer with the scroll as dealing with a koisel meshupa, in order to explain how it came to a state of hanocha, amor di omar Rava b'sefer de ovid denayich. Granted that Rava said his halacha of and description of koisel meshupa, that's because he was focusing on an item that itself is always stationary, namely the scroll. It's something that's normal for it to be at a state of immobility. However, mayim mi avidi denaychi. Don't forget, before we were talking about someone gathering rainwater from a wall, but the rain water, as it's rolling down the wall, even if the wall has curvature to it, but does it come to a halt? Does it come to be? Does it stop? So even the case of the Koisel Meshupa doesn't really explain how there should be guilt, as Rabbi Yochanan described, the person standing in Rishus HaRabim reaching into a private domain and gathering water from the Koisel. Even if it's a Koisel Meshupa, the water is still not in a state of Hanocha. Elo Omar Rava, Kigoin Shekolat Me'al Gabi Guma. The case is that he gathered water from a pit in the a hole in the ground, a pit that was in the neighbor's private domain. So that you have someone standing in a public thoroughfare reaching into the private domain of some individual, and by gathering water from a pit that's in his private domain, and then withdrawing that water to where I am standing in the public domain. The Gemara says, Guma Pshita. Well, if that's the case, I don't need Rabbi Yochanan to have taught me the halacha. That's obvious. So the Gemara explains, Ma'al detema, Mayim al gabi mayim lav hanocha hu. One might have thought that when I'm gathering water from a pit filled with water, that's water on top of water, that the water that I'm gathering from the surface is not really at a state of hanocha. And as we explained before, akira is not accomplished unless you're taking something from a state of immobility, of hanocha. So that's what I would have thought. Komash Malon, Rabbi Yochanan is telling me that mayim, al-gabi mayim, is its hanocha. The Ozda Rava Letame, and Rava in explaining the Hadloch of Rabbi Yochanan this way of gathering water from on top of from the surface of a pit filled with water is consistent with what he's taught elsewhere. Diyama Rava, Mayim Agabi Mayim, Hainu Hanochosan. He has 3 points, and we've numbered them, you can see, using small numbers. Water on top of, sitting on top of other water. So the In other words, a pit full of water, the surface water is in its state of hanocha. Egois al-gabi mayim lav hainu hanochoso. If someone were to pick up a nut floating on water, and using the same model of the cases we've been dealing with till now, someone is, let's say, in a Rishus HaRabim, and reaches into a Rishus HaYochid and takes a nut that's floating in water in the private domain, he would not be guilty because he didn't take the nut from a state of hanocha. That's not where you keep nuts. That's not where nuts are stored. Boi Rava. Rava now asks a question. And the question we can summarize in one word is a matter of perspective. How do we determine things in terms of our perspective. Egois bekli v'kli tzof al gabi mayim. The same model as we've been dealing with till now, person standing public domain, reaching into a private domain, where in this case we have a vessel, let's say a cup that has a nut inside of it, but the cup is floating on the water. And he takes the nut out of the cup and takes it to where he is in the Rishus HaRabim. Is this considered an Akira from a state of Hanocha, so that we would call it a real Akira? Egois, so the Gemara asks, Aleph, and you'll see Oy Dilma Beis at the end of the line, the alternative explanation, two sides of this question. Boser Egois Azlin and Bohanaych, do you focus, is your perspective focused on the nut? And the nut, which is sitting in a cup, so it's at a state of non-movement, so it's at a state of Hanocha. The nut itself, when you focus on the nut and its immediate environment, it's at a state of Hanocha. Oy Dilma, Boser Kli Azlinan. Or do we view this situation in terms of the vessel? V'ha'lo'nayich, the nayid. It's the vessel is floating. It's in a state of movement. It's not in a stationary state as it is floating on the water. So, is it then to be explained that the nut is not at a state of hanocha, because I'm not viewing the nut in and of itself, but in terms of its general area, namely the vessel in which it is found. And the vessel is not at a state of hanocha, it's floating on the water. Teku, this question remains unresolved. Continuing in the spirit of things floating, the Gemara explains, Shemen shetzof al gabi yayin. Oil, as everyone knows, is a liquid that when poured into another liquid environment, the shemen inevitably floats or rises to the surface. So I have a case now of oil floating or floating on wine. A mixture of oil and wine where the oil inevitably rises to the top. And we mentioned before, for example, that water on water, where you scoop up some water from a pit filled with water, the water there is at its state of hanocha. How about the oil over here floating on the wine? So the Gemara says it will be a machloikis Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbanan. And the topic, it's very interesting how the Gemara does this, but it does this all throughout the Shas. It goes into a seemingly unrelated realm and extracts a principle from that realm and applies it here. Here the realm is going to be dealing with Tumas and Taras, and concerning Truma, the tithe given to a Kohen, is something that we are instructed to maintain its purity. So we have a source that says Shemen of Truma, Shetzof al Gabi Yayin of Truma. You have Truma wine mixed with Truma oil. The oil is, of course, floating now at the top. V'noga tvul yom b'shemen. A tvul yom is a person who had been tomei, immersed himself in the mikveh, but did not experience sundown yet. Therefore, he has a certain level of tuma. It's a moderate level of tuma, known as a sheni l'tuma status. A sheni l'tuma will ruin Truma, but the Truma that gets ruined gets ruined in the sense of it becomes pusel, it doesn't transfer Tuma any further. So what happened here? The Tfuyom came, Venoga Tfuyom by Shemen. The Tfuyom, who's a Sheni Lutuma, touched the Shemen, which is Truma, and Truma is sensitive to second level Tuma. Lo Posal Elo Shemen Bilvad. The Tanakama says, the Chachomim here, the Tanakama say that only the oil is ruined. In other words, the oil is viewed as a separate entity from the wine underneath. The Rashi says, "Lo posal elo shemen bilvad l'fisheino chibur zeloze." They're not considered attached, even though physically they're one. The oil is on top of and in contact with the wine, but nevertheless, it's not considered an attachment. the shemen posulhu velo tame, the shemen becomes ruined but doesn't get a tuma status to it. Hilkach lo posul le layayin, it doesn't ruin the wine underneath it. Inyan Shabbos nami havi kedover achir atsof al hamayim, it's considered like the nut, like something else that's floating on the water, like the nut we had before. Veloi delav hainu hanachosa, this is not, it's not at its state of rest. Had it been considered one entity, one halachic entity, a chibur between them, so it would be no different than the case of the water on the water. And the water on the water, we said, is its place of hanocha. Here we are, here, according to the Tanakama, where only the oil is ruined, because it's not mechubar, it's not considered attached to the wine underneath. Hence, this represents the shita, that wine on oil is not at its state of hanocha. We continue in the Gemara text, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shnehem mechubarim ze lo ze. They are considered attached to one another, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the oil that's floating on the wine is at its state of hanocha, and if on Shabbos someone came while standing in a different rishus, scooped up some of the oil and took it out from where it is to where he is standing in this, in a different domain, so according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, there would be a Shabbos guilt. Omar Rabbi Oven, Omar Rabbi Eloi. Notice we continue with our double underlining scheme. Here we have triangles that you'll see introduce statements made by Rabbi Yochanan. So we have Rabbi Oven, Omar Rabbi Eloi, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Hoyaton, Oichlin, Umashkin, a person who had been loaded up with food and drink. So he has it on his, we'll say, on his back, a pack filled with food and drink. And he's going in and out all day. V'nichnas v'yotzei kol hayom kulo. All day, of course, we're talking about on Shabbos. Now, when this person was loaded up with the food and drink, he wasn't loaded up, it sounds at least, that he wasn't loaded up with the intention of his taking it from the private domain and into a public domain, but rather he was loaded up within the private domain to carry it from one corner to another. After he started walking, he then had a change of mind and decided to go outdoors with it. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying that he can be walking in and out into the private domain, out into a public domain, back and forth all day, and he's not chayav, eino chayav, ad sheya'amoid. He won't be chayav until he comes to a stop, to a halt, and then starts walking again. And with that, okay, resumed walking, he now is doing so with the intention of transferring the items, in this case, the food and the drink, to a different domain. If we look at Rashi, Eino Chayav Ad Shiyamoy, V'achakach Yakor Atzmo Lotzeis, and then he removes himself, again starts walking in order to leave. De'amidas Gufo Vaday Ke Hanochas Chefetz Domi. The fact that he stopped walking with all of this food and drink loaded on his back, that is considered like the item coming to a rest. Now when he starts walking again, he resumes his walking with the now intention, the new intention of taking it, transferring its domain. He'll reading that line in Rashi again. He will be guilty. But without having stopped, leko akira elo akira rishona. The only akira that you have is the original akira. He lo hoisa amanas lotzeis. It wasn't an akira with the intention of leaving his immediate domain. So that even in the course of his walking, he happens to change the domain, but the original akira was not done with that intention. This Rashi is giving us laying down principles that are important for Hilchos Shabbos. The Torah does not say that there is guilt unless there is a planned activity. v'gamrinu mimishkan, she's kaveh lasa is hamlocha, where you have the malocha intention at the outset. Avol, and the reason for exemptions in those cases is avol lo yodea shu shabbos o kosovah shamlocha zumuteres. You can have a situation where a person is considered shogeg because he doesn't know it's Shabbos, or he thought that this action is muter. But here we have a situation where he didn't even have an original intention for the action of hoitzah, because he didn't have an akira, the intention of akira for transferring its domain. When does the akira factor become a reality? That's if he stops and then resumes his walking. At the point that he resumes his walking, he does so with the intention of transferring the domain of the food and drink. Omar Abaye. Abaye qualifies this point of Ad Shiyamod and says, V'husha Omad Lofush. It's provided that his stopping was considered a significant stopping. Lofush means to rest. There are two types of stoppings, of halts, that we will mention in this discussion. One is called lafush, which, as we said, has to do with a type of rest, a longer type rest where you stop to rest, as opposed to someone who stops or halts to simply adjust a package on his back. That's called likasef, where he's not stopping for the sake of stopping, but he's stopping for adjusting the package. So that in order to be something to be considered a real akira, is that the person loaded with the items had stopped with a real stoppage and then resumed his walking. Mimai, from where do we know this halacha? So, from where do we know Abaye's qualification? Mida Omar Mor, he learned it from Rabba. Mor is a title referring to Rabba in this case. What did Rabba teach? Toich arba amos omad. Let us say a person picks something up at the beginning of a 4 amo mark in a public thoroughfare, and he picked it up in a reshus rabim and started walking. But within, before he reached 4 amos, he stopped omad. He stopped. So lofush potter. If he stopped in order to rest, and then resumed his walking, and placed it down at the end of the 4 amos, where the original item moved a total of 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim. However, it was broken up by, we mentioned earlier, but we'll mention again, there's a separate melocha of Mavir Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim, a separate melocha in the context of Hoitzah, of carrying something a distance of 4 amos in a public thoroughfare. That too requires an akira and a hanocha. In this case, he walked a total of 4 amos, but in the middle, he stopped for taking a rest. So he stopped within the 4 amos, lofush potter. You don't have a continuum of 4 amos. Therefore, he's exempt. Lekasef chayav. If he, at the end of 2 amos of walking, let's say he stopped to adjust the package, then continued another 2 amos and placed it down, that would be chayav, even though he stopped. But the stopping was of no significance to be considered a hanocha. Take the same case again. However, here he is going to travel with the item for more than 4 amos. After traveling, after walking with it more than 4 amos, chutz ledal amos, omad. He then stopped. Lofush, if he stopped after moving 4 amos with it, that stoppage is considered a complete halt. That's considered its hanocha. And therefore, if he's omad lofush after he traveled or moved already 4 amos, that creates guilt. Lekasef potter. If he walked, he picked up something, walked more than 4 amos with it, stopped to adjust the package, and then continued walking, that stoppage does not create guilt. He didn't stop yet. And if he continues walking the rest of the day, he won't be chayav because he didn't do the hanocha, which is required to complete the malacha. The Gemara now asks regarding Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, the Rabbi Yochanan we saw a few lines up in a triangle. My Kamash Malon. What is the Chiddush in Rabbi Yochanan's din of someone who had been loaded up with Oichlan Mashkim without the intention of carrying it outside? So he said that even if he walks in and out all day, he remains innocent. What is the point? My Kamash Malon. Shalo Hoysa Akira Misha Rishoyna Lakach. Is Rabbi Yochanan simply trying to convey that what was lacking in that case is that the original Akira was not done, the original movement was not done with the intention of transferring domain, and that's why there's innocence, because the original Akira was not an Akira that is Malocha related? Well, Ha'omra Rabbi Yochanan Chadazimna. Rabbi Yochanan already taught this Halacha, and you'll notice we have another Rabbi Yochanan coming up in a triangle. The Omar of Safra, Omar of Ami, Omar of Yochanan. Hamavir, and it's also, we should note, there's a long question. We have a kuf that's encircled immediately right hand side of the one. It's a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines develop the question. And the question simply is, Rabbi Yochanan seems to be redundant. He already taught this. Rav Safra quoting Rav Ami and eventually Rav Yochanan, Hamavir chafotze mizovis lezovis, a person who is transferring in the privacy of his home articles from one corner to the other corner of his room. V'nimlach aleim v'otzion poter. And while he is moving them with the original intention of moving it from one corner to the other, he has a change of mind. Nimlach is a change of mind. And carries them out into Rishus HaRabim. He will be exempt, even if he places it down in the Rishus HaRabim. Shelo Hoysa Akira, Misha, Rishona, Lekach. Because his original Akira was not with transfer of domain intention. He was interested simply in transferring its location from one corner of the same room or the same house to another corner, which would have certainly presented no problem. The fact that he changes his mind in mid-walking doesn't change the original Akira, and therefore he remains exempt. So is it not so that Rabbi Yochanan in the second triangle represents an earlier teaching of Rabbi Yochanan? Why then is there the need for the first triangled Rabbi Yochanan, which was presented to us by Rabbi Ovin, Omar Rabbi Eloi? The Gemara says, Amoroi Ninu, There's a machlokes amoroyim between Rabbi Eloi above and Rabbi Ami over here in the more recent triangle in how did Rabbi Yochanan present the halacha in its original form. Mar Omar lo b'hai lishna. One opinion says it in this version. Umar Omar lo b'hai lishna. The other says it in the other version. Rashi points out that Rabbi Yochanan did not say the halacha twice. He said it only once, but there's a machlokas as to how he presented the halacha, namely the halacha, the principle being that where the akira rishona is not done with the domain change intention, it lacks the severity of a real Shabbos akira. As we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a new topic heading, Hamotzi Mechanus Leplatyo Derech Stov. The sugya will deal with Hotso Mirshus Hayochel Rishus Rabim. In this case, he's going from a chanus, a store, to a platyo, a public, a Rishus Rabim, a plaza where a lot of people congregate. Derech Stov, and he's, in order to go from the store to the plaza, so he walks through an area that's characterized by a series of benches or platforms where people sit. That's a stov. The stov itself, that area is called a karmelis. It's not a Rishus HaRabim because it's not easy. It's not a place that's easy to walk through. There are a lot of barricades or benches or posts, however you want to, or platforms that interfere with easy walking. And on the other hand, it's not an enclosed area, so it doesn't have the definition of a Rishus HaYochid either. So our source says, Tanu Rabbanan, motzi mechanus leplatya, derech stav. These persons carrying from a store which is a Rishus HaYochid to a plaza which is a Rishus HaRabim through this stav, this platform area. Chayav, ubenazai poter. The Tanakhama says he is guilty. He didn't stop. Because he didn't stop in his walking, he walked from the Chanas to the plaza area. True, he traversed an area that is a non-Rishus, non-Doraisa Rishus. However, he didn't stop. And since he didn't stop, it's considered one continuous act of Akira and Rishus HaYochid and Hanoch and Rishus HaRabim. Ubenazai poter. Benazai says there is exemption. Bishlam Benazai, ironically, maybe Benazai can be more easily explained. Kosovar, he is of the opinion Mahalich ka'imed domi. Walking is like standing, so that as he walked through the stov, it's as if he came to a halt in your mind's eye over there. So how do we describe what took place? You have the Akira from Rishus HaYochid, and then Hanoch in the Carmelis, that no Melocha Doraisa took place. And then he would then continue walking, he actually continues walking, but in our mind's eye, his continued walking is like a new Akira from the Carmelis, and then Hanoch in the Rishus HaRabim. You don't have an Akira in one Torah Rishus and Hanocha direct in the next Doraisa Rishus. Rather, it's interrupted with a Hanocha in the Carmelis and then a resumed Akira from the Carmelis to the Rishus HaRabim. Elo Rabbonon. But when we turn to the Shitas HaRabbonon, Nehi Nami de Kosavri Ma'ach Lavka Oimi Domi, granted that they are of the opinion that walking is not like standing. Therefore, it's considered a direct transfer from a Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim. However, the question remains that Hecho Ashkachno Ki Aigavna de Chayov. Where do we find precedent? And when we speak about precedent, we're interested in finding some precedent in the Mishkan construction, or even better, in a Pasuk, for this kind of Hotsa'ah. Hotsa'ah, when there's an interrupting domain between the Rishus HaYochid and the Rishus HaRabim. As Rashi explains, maybe the Torah in being mechayev for hoitzah is mechayev only if there is no interrupting rishus, where you're going directly from a rishus hayochet to a rishus harabim. Who says that the Torah is mechayev when you travel through a non-Torah domain? Amar Rav Safra, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yochanan. So we're coming up now with an answer. And we're at the top of Vav Amud Aleph. You'll notice immediately that we have diamonds. These are, and we have a series of them, there are three of them, which are an attempt to explain the precedent, what serves as a precedent for this kind of Meleches Hoitzah, when you're going from a Torah domain through a non-Torah domain, and the Hanoch eventually in the next Torah domain. We speak of, use the term Torah domain as in paralleling the opening of the perek with Shnayim Shein Arba, two Rishuyos, like Rava explained, two Rishuyos that exist on a Torah level that create Chiyuvim. Those two Rishuyos being Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid. So the Gemara, in its attempt to explain this, we said at the top of Vav Amud Aleph, presents the first of these explanations. Midi dahavi amavir chepetz birushus orabim. Similar, and just to imagine the carrying of an item in the public thoroughfare. There is a halacha, something that we've referred to today a couple of times, of dalet amis birushus orabim. So if I pick something up at a given point in a public thoroughfare and then place it down more than four amos away, I have done a meleches Shabbos. So if I'm carrying something a distance of four amos in Rishus HaRabim, Hossam lav afal gav, is it not so the kama dinokit levi ozer potter, that as long as he is holding it and moving with it, he is exempt. Ki monach le chayav, when he eventually places it down, he is chayav. Hachanami lo shna, so too over here. So that even though in the interim there's a situation of exemption, there is an eventuality of guilt, so too over here, where he picks it up in the Rishus HaYochid. In the interim, he crosses a Carmelis, which is a place of exemption, and eventually places it down, incurring guilt when he places it in the Rishus HaRabim. If we look at the Rashi at the top, Midirav Yamav Yochevitz Rishus HaRabim, Yoyser Me'arba Amos, he's carrying something for more than 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim, Chol Kamadolo Monach Le Potter, as long as he doesn't place it down, there is no Shabbos violation. He is Potter, enjoys exemption from guilt. The chianche, when he eventually places it down, chayav. The afagav, the ifsik hilucha beni beni, even though there was the interim walking, which we said does not result in guilt, the interim walking is not a problem, but eventually he becomes guilty because of the subsequent hanocha. The Gemara said, how can you parallel that case of the Mavir Dal Amos Rishus Rabim to the case of the Chanus Derech Stav to a Platya, Mi Dummy? And you can see how we use a double underline each time we reject the parallel. Hosam Kol Hecho De Monachle Mokom Chiyuv Hu. In the case of walking more than 4 amos with the item, wherever he places it down, after he's gone more than 4 amos, at that point, any place he puts it down, he'll be chayav. Hacha, in the case of the chanus to the plat yaderach stav, he monach le b'stav mokom p'tur hu. If he places it in the area of the platforms or the benches, that area is a place of exemption. So it's not similar to the case of the Mavir Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim. In the case of Mavir Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim, after he's walked more than 4 amos, even though the continued walking represents exemption, but at any place that he puts it down, there will be guilt because he's gone more than 4 amos. Here, if he places it in the stav, he won't be guilty. Elo midi dahave amavir chefetz mitchilas dalet l'sof dalet. So the parallel will be a case of someone transferring something from the beginning of 4 amos to a final mark 4 amos away. So here we're focusing on a very specific case of from the beginning of 4 amos to the end of 4 amos. Hasam, in that case, lav afagav, is it not so the imonach le besoch 4 amos potter, ki monach le besof 4 amos chayav, that if he places it down within the 4 amos, so he is innocent, because Melechus Shabbos says that only if you carry something 4 amos in the Rishus HaRabim will there be guilt. But carrying something 2 amos in Rishus HaRabim is not a melacha. So in that case, you see that if you place it down in the middle of the 4 amos, before completing 4 amos, you're innocent. Placing at the end of the 4 amos, there is guilt. So too over here, if you place it down in the middle, namely in the stav, so you are innocent. If you place it afterwards in the platya, in the plaza, Rishus HaRabim, there is guilt. Seems to be a nice parallel. So if we were looking for a precedent for the Shitas Chachamim, we would say the precedent is Mavir Chefetz from the beginning of 4 to the end of 4 Amos. The Gemara rejects this. There's no parallel. Mi Dami, how can you compare them? Hosam Lagabi Dahai Gavro Mokom Pturhu Lekuli Alma Mokom Chiyuvhu. It's true regarding this person who's carrying it from the beginning of 4 Amos to the end of 4 Amos, so he places it down at the 2 Amma mark, so for him it's exemption. But for anyone else who's coming from outside the 4 Amos and places it in that same spot, they would be guilty. Hocha, in the case of the stav, Lekuli Alma Mokom Pturhu, for everybody it's a place of exemption, and therefore maybe this is a more lenient situation. Ela, third attempt, where is there a parallel or a precedent for the Shitas Chachomim that says that going derech stav one will nevertheless be guilty? Ela midi dehave amotzi mishus hayochid rishus harabim derech tzide rishus harabim. Someone who carries something from a private domain to a public thoroughfare through an area called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, literally the sides of the Rishus HaRabim. we don't want to commit ourselves at this point to a very careful or specific definition of tzidir shus rabim. Let us go through the Gemara. Let us see how the Gemara defines it. One thing we can say is that Sidei Rishus HaRabim, according to certain opinions, is not an actual public area. It's, as its name indicates, it's the side of the public area, not the actual public area. So, Hasam, in that case, Lav Avagav, is it not so, the Monach Le'at Sidei Rishus HaRabim Potter, if a person leaving the Rishus HaYochel would place it on the, we'll say, the sidewalk, for example, a narrow sidewalk might be called the Sidei Rishus HaRabim, and he places it there, he would be exempt. But if he places it in the main street, the main thoroughfare, he will, he then would be guilty. Here too, going through the stav will be no difference. And as according to this approach, we're paralleling Tzidei Rishus HaRabim with our case of the stav. Maskiflor of Papa, Honicha the Rabbonan. This analogy will work well according to the Rabbonan in Maseches Erevin, the Amrit Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Lav Rishus HaRabim Domi. They classify this Tzidei Rishus HaRabim as non-Rishus HaRabim, hence there would be a parallel between the Stav and the case of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, both being non-Rishus HaRabim areas. Elo Rebbe Lozer, the Amar Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim Domi, but according to Rebbe Eliezer, who says that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are is considered like Rishus HaRabim, Ma'iko LaMeimar. There's no parallel. What do you have left to say? Going from the Chanus to the Stav is not parallel of going from the Rishus HaYochet to the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. According to Rabbi Lezer, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is like going directly into the Rishus HaRabim, which is a place of guilt, not exemption. Amalei Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika. He Rav Acha explains, "Emur d'shamis l'Rebbe Lozer d'omar tzidushus rabim shus rabim domi." Granted that he has this opinion, tzidushus rabim is considered like a major, like the main thoroughfare. Hecho d'leko chipufi. That's where there are no blockades. You might see, for security reasons, in front of certain buildings, there are certain types of concrete protrusions from the ground. We can refer to them simply as blockades. That, you know, is something like a sidewalk is a Tzidei Rishus HaRabim without a blockade. It's a simple flat area that leads directly into the Rishus HaRabim. Aval hecho d'icho chipufi. If you have a case like you leave a building, the Rishus HaYochid, and you encounter, before you hit the main thoroughfare, you encounter these blockades, where there are chipufi. Hecho d'icho chipufi. Misham eslev, would Rabbi Eliezer say that kind of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is like a Rishus HaRabim? Certainly not. Hilkoch leho damya. Therefore, it's with regard to this that there is a parallel between the stav and the case of the chipufi. And even according to Rabbi Eliezer, so we would find a precedent for the person carrying from a private domain to the public domain, encountering an area that's a non-Torah, non-Doraisa Rishus, and yet there is Chiyuv. Just like we see, carrying from a Rishus HaYochet to Rishus HaRabim, Derech Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, where there would be guilt. Omar Rav Yochanan Umoide Ben Aza, here we have a little arrow forwarding back to Hey Omid Beis, where Ben Azai had said one who carries from the Rishus of the Chanus Platio Derech Stav is innocent because Mahalech Ka'oimed Dami, he will concede though the Zorek, if a person throws from the Chanus to the Platio Derech Stav, he will be guilty. In other words, throwing is not parallel to walking in the mind of Ben Azai. Or I should say, even in the mind of Ben Azai. Tanyo Nami Hochi, we have a Tanaic source supporting this. Hamotzi Mechanus Leplat Yoderech Stav, Chayov. One who carries from a Chanus, a store, to a plaza, Derech a Stav, through the Stav. This is the sheet that we've seen before, is Chayov. Echot Hamotzi Vechot Hamachnis, Vechot Hazorek Vechot Hamoshit. Whether it be someone who is going from the Motzi is going from the private to the public area, or the opposite direction, whether it be someone that throws it or someone that hands it over. Ben Azai Omer, Hamotzi Vamachnis Potter, in the case of someone who is walking in the Hoitzo or Hachnosa fashion, he's truly exempt because he Mahalich Ka'omei Dami, However, Hamoshid v'hazorek chayev. We've dashed on the zorek because this is the main point for bringing in this source, where if someone throws it from the Chanas Lepatio, even Ben Azai agrees that he is guilty of being motzi from Rishus l'Rishus. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.